Good morning. Today's Old Testament reading is from Psalm 29, a psalm of David. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Saron like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kishon. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace.
We've moved from Advent, the waiting for Christ, to Christmas, the receiving of the gift, to a season now in the church called Epiphany, in which we focus on how we share, how we give away this gift, live it in the world so that others might also know it and receive it. And so for these Sundays coming through Epiphany, I would like to focus with you on the prayer of Jesus, the Lord's Prayer, as it helps us to understand the faith that we have that's worth sharing. So listen for the Word of God. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites." Now, the hypocrite was one who wore a mask. The word is related to an actor. The actor takes a mask, places it over her face. And so that's not the true face, but an untrue face. A hypocrite has these two faces. So Jesus says, "Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans." That Greek word, batalogia, sounds like baloney to me. Babylonia, babble, baloney. "Do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him." I need to read that again so you all wake up now and listen to this one thing. If you don't get anything else from this service today, this is what I want you to know, and I want you to remember, and I don't you ever, ever forget it. Okay? Listen. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let us pray. Oh God, to this glorious faith that is ours, we give you thanks. May we learn again today how to share your great truth and love all around us. Everywhere beyond us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You all are Presbyterians, so whether you know it or not, you have the DNA of John Calvin coursing through your spiritual veins. You do. You may not realize it, but you do. What you do here today is because of John Calvin, right? I mean, the way you do the ordinances, the way you do your music, the way you do the creeds, the way you worship, the way you think, it's been filtered down through the years from this reformer of Geneva, this French-born lawyer turned theologian, who wrote a thing called the Institutes of Christian Religion. Go out and buy a copy sometime. You'll enjoy reading it. It's only 1,500 words. 500,000 words. 1,500 pages. If you read it, you'll have to get another book, though. You'll have to get a book to read along with it so that you can understand what it is that you've just read, because reading John Calvin, pretty tough sledding. So maybe a different tact. Maybe something closer to our hearts, closer to our experience, so that we can grasp what it is that we believe and why do we believe it. And so we'll focus on the Lord's Prayer. Five short verses. Much easier than 500,000 words. The Lord's Prayer defines what it means for us to be God's people. Jesus didn't need to take much space to do it. Five short verses. The Lord's Prayer is in two places in the Bible, as maybe you know. In Luke, it appears. And it appears because the disciples come to Jesus, and for once, they ask the right question. They are usually so blind and so clueless. Like the time in Samaria where they said, because the Samaritans didn't welcome them with hospitality, they said, Jesus, should we call fire down from heaven and destroy it? These Samaritans. Or that time when they were arguing with each other. Which one of us is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Let me sit on your right hand. You see, they were so clueless so often. But this time, they hit the nail on the head. They came to Jesus and said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. It was a teachable moment for them. I suppose that they figured it out that they couldn't do this on their own. That it would be impossible for them to write their own contract with God. It would be impossible for them to start over and just build a religion that fit their needs, fit their personality, made them feel comfortable, gave an amen to all their prejudices and deficiencies. That's not faith. We don't make this up on our own. We don't walk out into the woods and say, okay, God, I'll just make up my own religion. Won't it be nice? We'll just walk in the woods together and feel the sunshine and won't it be wonderful? Make up my own religion. No. No. No, you don't. You don't get to do that. This was a teachable moment. Teach us, Lord. We don't know how to do this. What a great place to be. Teachable, open, ready to learn what you could never teach yourself, what you could never discover on your own, that only God can give in the community of God's people. That's Luke. Now, in Matthew, we have a different Lord's Prayer background. Jesus is teaching in this thing called, we call the Sermon on the Mount. It's Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And in the midst of this, Jesus teaches us how to pray. And the first thing, of course, as we read this morning, he said, it's not a matter of showing off how much you know. Standing in the synagogues, oh, look how beautiful the prayer. What language, what presence. Isn't that a beautiful prayer, standing on the street and showing people spiritual show-off? Jesus turns us away from all of that. And then he says, not only is it not a matter of a lot of words, I mean, the more words you say, the better the prayer. That's not prayer. The other thing he says is, when you start prayer, when you begin your prayer, we begin it with the understanding that God already knows what we need. That's the most wonderful thing that we can ever grasp. We don't bring to God a report as if God is asleep. We have to wake up God and say, God, have you noticed me? Do you know what I need? Have you been paying attention to my pain? My hurts, my dreams, my disappointments, my sins? Are you there? John Calvin, bless his soul, would have liked this part of my sermon. He believed, as we do, good Presbyterians that we are, in prevenient grace. That just means that before we say the first word of prayer, God has already enveloped us in love and grace. We are graced and blessed before we say the first word. We just are now beginning to emerge and wake up into what is always there, that we are enveloped and surrounded at every moment of our lives, that God always knows. We never have to tell God what God hasn't already known. What strength and power and comfort that should be to us. God already knows everything that you need. And so then Jesus gives the prayer. We'll walk through this prayer in the next several weeks. It begins with, "Our Father in heaven." Prayer begins with God. Just as worship begins with praise. Now, I'm not always very good at this. So much of my praying is I just rush right into, "God, this is what I need, this is what I want, this is how I hurt." I begin the prayer with me. Prayer begins focusing on God, not me. Prayer begins with our Father. You notice the prayer doesn't begin, "My Father." We can't pray alone. There's no solitary prayer. You can't pray alone. Every prayer that you ever pray is an Our Father prayer. That is, it is a prayer that includes not just me, my little life, my little world, but it includes all of us. And it means, of course, that I can't ask anything for me that I don't also ask for you. That whatever in my life I need, I have to make also sure that I'm praying with you, for you, that you are part of my prayer, that you are included in this Our Father. Whatever I give thanks for, the blessings of my life, then I have to also open that prayer to say, "And God, may these blessings be upon you, be upon them, be upon every life, every person." Our Father. Not long ago, I remember watching the videos on TV about the Russian clergy and they were taking the blessings, the holy water, and they were blessing the tanks and the bombs that would fall upon their neighbors and brothers in Ukraine. And I can remember thinking to myself, how can they do that? How can they do that? You see, the problem here, and I'll speak honestly with you, the Russian clergy at this point have a theology that needs to be reformed in significant and deep ways. They talk about their country as Holy Russia, as if their country, their people, their customs, their religion is holy upon to God. And we who are in the West are the Antichrist. That we in the West are opposed to the holiness that is inherent in the Russian church and in the Russian people, pray for the Russian clergy, that they will be able to have an Our Father experience of grace. God is not on their side. God is not on our side. There is only one side for God, and that's the side of grace and love and inclusion and blessing for all of God's creation. When I pray, when you pray, Our Father, we're bringing into our prayer the whole world for God's blessing. Not only does it bring in the world, but it also brings in more than just the world. It brings in heaven as well. Scripture says that when we pray, we should not be concerned that the words aren't perfect, that we are halting, confused. Even sometimes we pray amiss. Sometimes we pray for things that we should not have. The scripture says that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, takes our prayer and lifts it up to God the Father as a perfect prayer. So when we pray, we're praying not just with our voice, but we're praying in the Spirit that makes every prayer to God perfect. Every prayer that you've ever prayed because of the work of the Holy Spirit is a perfect prayer to God. Not only does it include the Spirit, but it includes heaven as well. In the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation, John, prisoner on the Isle of Patmos, gets this vision. It's called the Revelation of John. It's the last book of the Bible. He gets this vision. He gets the vision of heaven. The clouds open up, the skies part, and he sees what's going on in heaven. And what he sees, first of all, is this throng. The number of people, he says, is countless. From every race, from every tribe, from every language, all of God's beloved is there around the throne of God. Now, when someone asks you, how big is your church? Tell them. It's beyond counting. My church is part of that company that cannot be counted. From every race and tribe and language, of all time and places, we are part of that great, great throng, numberless, vast, extending over time and place. Don't feel as if because we're small. We're not small. This is not a small church. No church is a small church. We're all part of this great vast number of God's people extending over time and space and into eternity. And then John says he heard the elders around the throne, and they were singing. The elders were singing. Praise and glory and power and honor and might be unto our God forever and ever. So when we pray, Our Father in heaven, we are connected to all of that glory and vastness and greatness of God's grace. In Epiphany, we have a faith worth sharing so that others also will come to know. Amen.